sending fresh oil from heaven.
Welcome to Ed Dufresne Ministries, reaching the world through God's love and His power. Experience fresh oil from heaven as we enter a service already in progress.
So I'd like for you to open your Bibles again to Jeremiah chapter 1. And then I feel impressed to make this available. You know that we have been, I have some things written down or typed down here about the character of a prophet. Some of his, and maybe I'll, the next session that we have on it, I'll make it available to you because it'd be good for your notebook or for your teaching on the ministry of the prophet. And as you know, that a prophet of God is a man of revelation. We talked about that. So I'm just going to rehearse a little bit and get into some things that I got rolling around in my spirit, okay? And like I say, you know, unless I want to get it from the Holy Ghost and what He once said tonight. Now, the prophet of God is a man of revelation, an evangelist. And some of you, this you'll hear it again, but it'll do you good to hear it over and over again until we get it down in our spirit, because of some things that are going to be happening in the 1990s concerning the prophet's ministry. And I believe I know the Lord has released me. It's time to start saying some things and doing more teaching on it, for the body of Christ won't be ignorant concerning the prophet's ministry. Amen. And also the ones that have that mantle will be able to be enhanced and be able to be helped, and they'll flow in that. I know I want to obey God and to His fullest. So a prophet is a man of revelation, an evangelist, and a pastor. And pastors are concerned especially with the people. The teachers are concerned with the Scripture. Everybody say the teacher. Are concerned with the Scripture. And see, and resident in the prophet is the counsel of God. Everybody say the counsel of God. And the heart of God. And the pulse of God. And we brought out the fact in our last teaching in Jeremiah 23:16-18. Here we found out that the prophet distinguished from the true from the false. Now, you know, a prophet was supposed to be a prophet that goes around and builds vain in you and prophesies vain in you is not a true prophet. We brought that out there in those scriptures. You know, a lot of people, because there's teaching now, there's the right teaching and the wrong teaching concerning the ministry of an apostle over a church and a prophet that God sets in the church. I've been to churches where, you know, they say, well, this is our resident prophet here in the church. Excuse me, I was thinking that. And they said, this is our prophet on the staff. I said, well, is that right? And usually, he wants to flex his muscles during the service, so he gets up and he prophesies, and I found out because he opened his mouth and hot air came out, and it wasn't of God. And you see, the danger is that everybody, well, we want to be like the New Testament church and everybody has to have the fivefold ministry. So we'll put a prophet in. And then we just push his button and he'll prophesy what we want to hear. Are you listening to me? And so, you know, they just, you know, this is our resident prophet. This is our resident apostle. Now, there is no misunderstanding. There is truth when God sets them in the church. But let's don't try to do something in the flesh and say, well, every church is going to have all the gift ministries and this is who we're going to put in. No, just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. Moving right along, since that went over real big. But a real prophet, he distinguished the true from the false. Write this down. Number one, God is a prophet is a man of revelation. Two, resident in a prophet is the counsel of God or the heart of God or the pulse of God. They just know the counsel of God, they know the heart of God and the pulse of God. That's why it's important that the prophets speak. and bring revelation to the church. When the true prophet prophesies, then revelation comes, and that way the teacher, the teacher that was set in the church, then he can build on that foundation and teach the church on some things that are coming and some things that need to be said. Can you say amen? Now, some of these things, like I said, I've held back for several years because of the simple fact that, you know, you get goofies. People, you know, but I'm not worried about excess now. I want the will of God. Things need to be said. And how the teachers going to, how's the teachers are going to teach anything unless the prophets prophesy? And I'll get into that. I'll get into some more of that tonight by the Spirit of God. Write this down. Prophets are friends of God. You don't want to mess around with God's friends. Thank you for that 1 week. That's right. But you don't want to mess. I know it's hard to talk when you're writing down. But prophets are friends of God. And that's in Amos 3:11 and Exodus 33:11. Most of you probably already have these notes. But like I said, I like to rehearse. Go keep going back over it. Number four, a prophet is a man of demonstrations. And I always go back as a prime example as Brother Hagin, and I'd say that a man has been in 50-some years in the ministry that I can use him as an illustration. And, you know, a lot of people said, you know, I mean, Thursday night when he was during dedication week, there was some demonstration going on. He just sat down and he said, well, I really don't have anything. After he got up and said, prophesied and did what God told him to do, then he sat down. He said, I don't have something. Somebody else has got something? And, you know, we had some people in here, intellectual people, said this to them. I'm sorry to say, some of them I'm married into in their family. So it wasn't really by choice. Won't get in trouble here. But just said, you know, I said, we wish he, you know, he, it was only, they said that it was only obvious that he didn't have anything because he said so and sat down. Now, you see, that's the way an intellectual, and if we're not careful, that's what we're getting into in a lot of our churches where you know, before you know it, you get so educated and you know this and you know that, you really don't know anything and you don't know nothing of the Spirit. Patsy Harrison was over at the meeting at ICFCM last week. And she started ministering, and you know, it's just something, how she started doing by demonstrating things. And yet there was people there that criticized that. I know, because they came and told me after the service. Had one person come up and told me, says, you know, Dr. Summerall, he had you pray for some minutes. I said, that's right. And he said, well, we didn't like the way that you ministered to us. Now, don't say that and trying to put them down in any form or fashion. Is because, you know, they're just ignorant concerning the things of God. That's why we must teach them. I was criticizing, you know, I see Brother Hagin in the meeting, and I start to see him going in the Spirit. Then all of a sudden, people start doing something else and miss it. And I said, those dum-dums. And I get so angry, and I, you know, it even upsets me the whole way. It does. It just affects me and upsets me. I said, man, we're going to miss. We need to hear what they have to say by the Spirit of God. And God, then God, this came up in my spirit the other day, and it settled for me. And that's why he said, now you're going to have to start teaching on it. How are they going to know if they don't have knowledge on it? And then if they don't act on it, then that's their, that, then that's between them and God once they get some teaching on it. You know, when the glory starts moving in, just like that, and I really learned from my relatives through marriage. That's when God spoke to me. He says, the reason they don't know. And they have, you know, Methodist background and so forth. Some of them have Pentecostal. That's a shame, but, you know, they full gospel folk. A couple of them were Pentecostal pastors. You understand what I'm saying? You see, they're trying to figure it out in your head. And you can't do that. This one lady told me the other night in the coffee shop, well, we didn't like the way you could have been a little different about it. Well, what do you want me to do? Get a little bit of oil on my hand, make a little light cross on your head and be religious about it and say, now be blessed, honey. God said, I said, oh my God, and hit him on the head. He didn't like that. He got offended. He was a Baptist preacher. Well, I'd say that was a demonstration. That was a time where the Holy Ghost came on. You understand what I'm talking about? And we was over a few years ago at the ICFCM meeting, and Brother Hagin, the night that he was ministering, And we got talking in the Spirit. And I wish we'll do more teaching on that, because there's need to be more teaching. And it got all over the country from our, supposed to have been our top-notch teachers, that wasn't of the Spirit, because me and Brother Hagin were talking together, talking to each other in the Spirit realm. Word of faith people teaching stuff like that. Now they're teaching, some of them are even teaching that you don't have to pray in the Holy Ghost, in tongues no more, because it don't do you a bit of good. Just pray in English. How asinine can you get? How stupid can you get? But that's because of lack of knowledge. A person, well, I'm learning this in a Word of Faith church in our Bible school. I said, I wouldn't go to that Bible school. Now, I'm not talking about Rhema. They don't teach that. I'm talking about some other ones. Be true with you. I heard the other day it might get me in trouble right here in town. Right here in town. Somebody going around teaching that in the school. In the school. Sorry if I take a little tracker. In the school, the professors. Seminary professors saying that Brother Hagin is of the devil or isn't right, and even the president of that school is not right. Well, Lord, I'm gonna get in trouble. I don't care. Huh? You can't figure. You know, you can't figure out a prophet of God. And that night. Brother Happy Caldwell put his hand out like that. And I didn't even know that he was doing it. He put his hand out just like that. And I just went in the Spirit. And I started spinning like a top. And I went right. And I couldn't see him. I had my eyes closed. I was gone in the Spirit. And I just spinning. And I came I just came right around. And he just came right up to the podium where he was standing on the steps there at Grace Fellowship. And he put as he was putting his hands, I was way over here. And as he was putting his hands down, the closer they get right on top of my head. And then when I came, I was spinning like a top. And I stopped, and he just put his hand right on my head. Now that was a demonstration of the Spirit. Well, what good does that do? All those preachers that were in there that night that got in the glory were set free. We got letters from all over the United States. And then you got your teacher sitting there, you know, in Bible school, well, bless God, that wasn't of God. You can't figure out God, honey. You're trying to figure him out in your head and say, well, why this, why that? Just jump in, man. You say, well, what, how do we know if it's of God? Well, whoever gets the glory after it's done. That ought to tell it right there. You sure ain't going to stand up. Glory to the devil. Well, then you know it was the devil. If they say glory to God, then it was God. Well, I don't know if this is going over too big or not. Well, it's just a bunch of junk. Huh? And a year before, I was minister at the ICM, and I got preaching when God told me there's a change of guard coming. Tell the preachers, get them in position, get in the right position, and where you're supposed to be in the next few years. Because when this wave really hits in full force, that you're in the right position. And over 1,000 preachers were laying all over the floor. The power of God came in there and ministered. And you know, people criticize that. Word of faith. I'm not talking about Baptist. I'm not talking about Presbyterian or Methodist. I'm talking about word of faith. And well, we don't need that stuff. We just need more information. Sir, you don't even got Mark 11, 22 and 23 down. And that's been being preached for years. You still haven't got, well, how do you know? Just listen to your mouth. Can you say amen? Do you see what I'm talking about? I'm still just introducing this thing, and it just gets heavier and heavier. Well, okay, praise the Lord. A prophet are men of demonstrations, not all the time. These often make them act strange. and many times they physically display their message. Now, if anybody Thursday night was here during our dedication would say, That was just foolishness. You ought to tell the pastors that when Brother Hagin got into the Spirit and was mentioned the board's name, I got proof. I got letter. We got Donald Brooks that he named off of some of the guys that were. Regine, you was here. You remember those names he named? Well, that was on a man's board. He said, "That is my board." He named that board off. Well, what did that do? That brought revelation. That brought light. Amen. Nailed the devil and a bunch of deacons with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. They display their messages. Four was prophets are men of demonstration. Five, the prophets are men of confrontation by nature. Now, I didn't understand myself sometimes in service, why it seems like I just go cross grain with the rest of the bunch. You know, Mark knows what I'm talking about, because we've had some confrontations in some of our meetings. Not with the congregation, but preachers. Yeah, the pastor's wife, moving right along. Be careful what you say around me, Marjorie, because I'll say it. Are you listening to me? And, you know, when things ain't going right. For instance, I was asked to go down and pastor a church in San Diego when I was living here, and God was dealing with me about something. And I was asked to go down, and they wanted me to come and pastor it. And I said, well, if I do, if that is God, of course, you know, I want the whole board to resign, and I'll just place in who the Lord tells me to. Well, they got upset over that the first meeting. But yet, when I was in the hotel room, the Lord told me that there was a man there that was embezzling money. The pastor was gone. He got into some problems, and he left. And really, the Lord told me that it was the men that were around him that caused him to get into sin in the first place, because they were putting vanity and puffing him up and giving him money and Cadillacs and everything else. That's all right to get a Cadillac, but you understand what? They were building vain in him. Vanity. And he got off and went across the border and got in trouble and got in sin. But he was dismissed, and then he signed it over. But the Lord showed me in a vision that this man was stealing money. And I went over there and put a lock on the secretary's door. He found out about it through somebody else the next day. And while I was out of town, went in there and broke the door down and stole all the records out of the computer. Now that's confrontation. They seem rough sometimes. I mean, it seems like they're just, you know, they say, man, they don't have no love. But you got to realize what he's dealing with. And that's why I couldn't understand. Lord, just let me be a sweet teacher and come in and teach. And just and everybody loves a sweet teacher. But why I come in there and you mess up my notes. I'm trying to preach on healing and you won't let me. You want me to talk about somebody's living in adultery in the church. Now that's confrontation. For another, I was up in Toledo, Ohio. And Mark and Bob Lemon, Mark Brzee, he's here tonight. And Bob Lemon, he's out in Los Angeles, Lancaster tonight preaching. And we was in a meeting, and all of a sudden God said, there's this church is full of adultery. He said, they're swapping wives. I said, well, and you talk about a demonstration and confrontation. Now, the reason why are you talking about these things is because you're going to see more of it happen.
That's right.
And see, the body of Christ, the ones that will listen, we need to have more teaching. I'm glad that you're all here tonight, because you're hungry to learn. I am too. I tell you, some of the stuff I've been saying the last three nights, the last three sessions, I've never heard myself say before. Some of it's new. But see, that's where a prophet, a lot of times, he will actually, a lot of times, just teach right out of his spirit and prophesy. That's why it's hard for me to go by notes. I'll start going off somewhere else. And that's what happened that night. Got in the spirit, and God said, now get Mark over. Let's see, where was Mark? Was you on my right or my left? Yeah, he remembers very well. And I said, Mark, stand over here in this section, if I get it straight. And then Bob, you get over on my right, and I'm going to take the middle. Because what I did, I had everybody, if I remember right, I had everybody pray. And I said, now you, there's some men in here that you're living in adultery and you're swapping wives in this church. Now, they didn't make me popular with the pastor. Matter of fact, he's never invited me back. I don't know if it made me popular. I'm just saying, he never invited me back. That's kind of maybe a good... and see, the Lord was trying to help his church. He was really trying to help me. You see, that's why everybody's afraid. But it was really bringing light. And we'll talk about it. It was bringing light to something. Because that's why it's good to have the different gift ministries come into your church, pastors. And you that are be future pastors. That's why you need to discern these parts that God said in the church that you'll have life. even in your church. You understand what I'm saying? So I said, now, Bob, they didn't come up. And God, that's when God told me to get Mark over here. Mark, you know, praise the Lord. He didn't know what I was going to do. Probably if he'd known what I was going to do, he would have been out the back door with his flesh. And so would Bob Lemon. Because every time I just bring this up to him, they just, oh, God. And I said, now, Bob, you go out and get that man that's in this section. I'm going to get this one. And you go over and get, and Mark looked at me. You know, he just, boy, I never seen Mark pray so hard in my life, man. He went over towards the wall. I'll never forget it. And then he looked at me again, you know. Now, you can't tell me that that ain't confrontation and demonstration. It really was. But God took it right to the man. He went over and he kept getting filled by the man. And it did him some good. And that way he saw, and Eric, because God told me that I'm working on Mark to start walking in some things. And you almost say, Lord, not this in every church. Oh, God. But he did. And those men came forward. And even I talked to people later on that was a big scandal and stuff that went on with that, and there was some junk going on. That's confrontation. Everybody say confrontation.
Confrontation.
You know, that's why a lot of times that when you go into a church, you know, you don't like to talk to a pastor beforehand, and then they call you, you know, you're not friendly, you're not cordial. But you know, when you get picked up at the airport, you don't want them to unload on you. Isn't that right, brother?
Amen.
You know, well, we got this problem. I just don't tell me nothing, or I won't be able to help you.
Amen.
Well, you know, we got this problem, we got that problem, or something like that. Well, moving on. You see, you understand what I'm talking about? By how I haven't really got to the deep stuff. And I'm just talking overview. Prophets are men of confrontation by nature. Nathan said, thou art the man. Well, that's what happened, Mark, when you said, thou art the man. And Bob Lemon, too, thou art the man. You see, this is why the Masakasha don't the bully lady. That's why I'm raising up men that will have men under them, and they'll be taught the things of the Spirit, and they'll be able to flow as it was with Elisha and Elijah. And that's why my men, they have come and gone, but they need to stay with the man. They need for seasons. Them that have been with the men have left too soon, and the anointed weaned. Well, I understand what he's saying, because I had a training center out in Los Angeles. A lot of young men, when they got a hold of it, they thought they had some anointing and they'd run with it. But my brother and sister, we need to be in the right position, especially in the next 2 years, next 24 months. It's very, very vital that we be in the right position. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Pastors need to be in the right position. The apostle needs to be in the right position. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, that's confrontation. John the Baptist said to Herod's wife, that'll get you in trouble with pastor's wives right there. We'll just pass over that, won't we? I think. Number 6, the prophets are saddened by what grieves God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I get to a point, I'll be in a hotel room that it seems like I'm just completely depressed, Mark. Until just recently, I was seeing what was happening. I was really grieved and saddened for what was going on in that church. You see, that's why it's very important that somebody, that's why sometimes prophets are moody. I know you don't get that way, Mark. I know you don't get that way. But you know, you just—I don't know about you, but there's just times. Sometimes you just grieved until almost to the point it seems like you're depressed. Until I was able to distinguish the difference. Now I see that, Lord. Now I know why He said that. Oh my mind. Well, I didn't see that before. I just saw it now. Praise God. Well, I just learned something. Glory to God. Now I know why that was. Praise the Lord. Well, what is it? Just something for me. Well, I Well, prophets are grieved what grieves God. Because why? They're the pulse of God. They have the heart of God. So, of course, what grieves God would grieve them. Prophets are saddened by what grieves God. Number 7, prophets are men of intercession. Many times they'll go off by themselves. That's why you got to leave them alone sometimes. You know, it seems like maybe they're moody, or maybe it sounds like they're, you know, of course that ain't, I'm not talking about just being a bad mood and being a rascal. I'm talking about when the Spirit, and sometimes, they need to get off and intercede. Prophets are men of intercession. He not only speaks to God about men, but he speaks to men about God. Exodus 32, 7 to 42. Number 8, the prophet is a man of expectation. Now, a lot of guys think it's because, I'm a prophet. Why? Well, I prophesy doom all the time. Well, no, a prophet will give you faith and hope. Just think about God. How would God speak to you? He wouldn't put doom and gloom. But see, a prophet, it maybe sounds like that it's getting dark. Things are happening. Let's take the prophecy that Brother Hagin gave. Well, dark cloud coming out of Washington, D.C. Something in that vein. Oh, this is going to happen. But then he gave you light how you can change it. See, that's revelation. That brings light what to do. God has shown him. We'll get into that. God is showing him things that are coming. And then he'll give you the answer. How to solve that. You know, I've lived out in California for years, all my life. And people would say it's going to fall off in the ocean. I always said when I was back, as long as me and Freddie Baby are out there, ain't going nowhere. I'll tell you that right now. Fred Price, That thing ain't going off nowhere. Well, the fault. The thing has a hinge. It's ready to dump everybody. And you better move to Phoenix because that's where the beach is going to be. Oh, you might laugh, but people believe that. There are people moving right and left out of there right now. Yeah, you moved. But that ain't the reason you moved. You moved because God told you. You used to have a church in Santa Barbara. Keith Hudson here. Can you say amen? So, they're a man of expectation. Faith and hope. Restoration. You remember Daniel? He brings us back to God, and he brings God back to us. Boy, there's something about a prophet that can get before God and say, remember your covenant. Oh, my. I see that, Lord. Glory to God. That's why Moses. Yes, glory to God. He says, you remember your covenant that you made with Abrahamic. You remember your covenant that you made with Abraham. And God repented of the evil do. But the thing that was, we as word people have tried to do that and it never worked for the simple fact generals deal with generals. Amen. Oh, of course, we got a covenant. We can stand on the Word of God. Now, you understand what I'm talking about. We're talking about the prophet's anointing. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the prophet's anointing. The prophet's anointing is deeper. It's heavier. Have you felt the anointing since we've been preaching in these meetings? It's a degree deeper than a light spirit or something. It's deeper. You know what I'm talking about. You've been around the prophet's ministry, and it's deeper, isn't it? And you can tell when it's about ready to come on, because just like what Nancy was saying in the first part of the service, what kind of music or what kind of ministry it takes for the pull on that mantle. That's why it's good to have people around you that know about the prophet's ministry. And I'd be truthful with you. You still love me, don't you? No matter what I say, you're going to have to anyway. The Bible says you stand praying, forgive. And a lot of Word of Faith churches, they don't know nothing about the prophet's ministry, and that's why we got to go teach them. I was in one meeting, and man, a heavy anointing came in. Well, Tim, you was with me on this one. And the heavy anointing came in there, and then the pastor the next night said, now that was kind of a real low-key anointing. Now we need a wham-bam, ha-ha, boom-boom-boom, let's go, and get everybody upbeat. Well, he missed the whole thing. He wasn't picking up that was the prophet's anointing that was in that place, and things were taken care of in his nation by the Spirit of God. And he said, well, it's kind of low-key. See, he was trying to get everybody up. You don't always have to jump up and down and bang and clang, and jump on the chairs and everything. Yeah, there's a time for that. We do it around here. But just because you don't do that in a service, oh, we had a real low-key service, in other words. Yeah, just like somebody said, well, that was sure low-key what Brother Hagin did the other night. He just went in the Spirit and dealt with some things and helped all those preachers that were here. And a bunch of them phoned and said, oh, God, we wish you'd listened and been there. He could have named my deacons. They need to be. Told you, I said, you should have been here. Amen. Thank you. Glory to God. I appreciate that. I'm going to say it if you do it or don't. I'll tell you that. Are you listening? You see? So praise the Lord. Well, let's get through this introduction. He brings us back to God, back to us. Number 9, a prophet should be a man of meekness, of humility, never conveying the impression of infallibility. He is willing to have his ministry and his life as well as the operations of the gifts evaluated and judged. Well, that's in, in what is it, 1 Corinthians 14. It talks about how the prophets should judge things that are being done in the services. Are you listening to me? Now go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. We read this before, but I just feel that these things need to keep going back over and over until we get them down in our spirit. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll start with the 4th verse. I've read this a couple times, but I've gotten more light in studying on it, and some things need to be said. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Well, you can't know a blob. You know, these people that abort these children, they say, oh, it's just a piece of skin. No, how can you know a piece of skin? Moving right along, I just thought I'd throw that in. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified, or I set you apart. You know, you can't sanctify, you can't, anointing in my tongue. Notice it said, God, I sanctified thee, or I set you apart. See, God, you can't set yourself apart to being a prophet, or any other gift ministry. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Or ordaining, I commissioned thee a prophet unto the nations. Did you know there's different degrees of prophets, and we'll get into that later date. 6th verse. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. I didn't even know this scripture was in here when God first dealt with me. He says, you will obey and you will command what I tell you. You see, that's important that we pray and intercede for the prophets to say what God is saying. And be not afraid of their faces. This is what happens to a lot of prophets. I know that got me in trouble 3 years ago. This matter of fact, just this week. 3 years ago, when God dealt with me over in Israel, and we'll be going again Monday, we'll be going to Israel, and God's going to speak to me again over there, I'm believing. And He dealt with me that I've been afraid of their faces. You've been afraid of man. And sometimes you'll hesitate and back off because of criticism and what people say. And we don't need whatever ministry you're in, or even as a born-again Christian, we're not to be afraid of their faces. Are you listening to me? Or don't let anybody talk you out of your healing. Or whatever, your prosperity. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. Man, I'll tell you, when God touches your mouth ain't the same. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to what? Now, this will give you an indication. To root out. Now, let me say this. Most of the time, a lot of people think if you get up and prophesy and go in the Spirit and see some things, that it's always done publicly, but that is not true. A prophet can be in his prayer time, he can be in his own bedroom, he can be in the bathroom, and when that anointing comes on him And then he'll command, things will be said by the Spirit of God that can change the nations and the kingdoms and change things in the spirit realm. So he doesn't necessarily have to be in a meeting. I like it when it happens in a meeting because I want to be there. I like being there. But a lot of times prophets don't just have to prophesy publicly. They can do it in their prayer room as the anointing comes on to go into that other realm to deal with spirits over cities. See, that's why God has said in the church. That's why the church don't know nothing about the anointing on the prophet. It's deeper. It goes in deeper and it can deal with generals in the spirit realm, bad generals or in the spirit realm, and a general of a prophet of God can deal with those spirits.
Hallelujah.
That's why it's important that you have prophets that come to your church, says Pastor, and teach your people about the prophet's ministry before they even get there. And they'll know how to pull on. They'll know where to do. They'll know if it goes into operation, what to do, instead of sitting there, get the tinkle toe girls out and everything else, and just blow the whole thing. Because there's things that he wants to say, that he wants rooted up in the spirit realm over that city or in that church. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll discern the prophet's ministry, what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, and discern their part in the body of Christ, there wouldn't be so many messes in the church today as there is. Because there's another realm where they can come in, they can root things out. Not necessarily in a public meeting, but they can do it in the spirit realm. I just read a testimony today, and I'm not bringing no attention to myself because God gets all the glory, but yet it is a fact. So I'm just going to tell you that. I had a man tell me in his church. His church was going down the tubes. He had us there, and he said, some of the things you said, I don't know what happened, but our finances have changed. He says, there's a stronger healing anointing in our church. What happened? There were some things that the Lord revealed by the Spirit of God, and it was being rooted out. That just teaching won't get it. And teaching is valid. Don't misunderstand me. It is. But I'm going to tell you, you're just going to be copycatting. You're just going to be blabbing just what everybody else is preaching. Unless, I'm telling you, in the next 2 years that the prophets will speak, that the teachers will be able to build their revelation and be able to teach on that revelation.
Hallelujah.
You getting something out of this? Huh? That's why God had me with that book about fresh oil. There's some more things rolling around. Some other things that need to be said by the Spirit of God. What happened? That was rooted out. There was things in the spirit realm that had to be dealt with. Praise the Lord. Put your hands up and praise Him and worship Him. Glory to God. To root out. To pull down. To destroy. Now see, that isn't everyday anointing. You see, we've got to the point where I got the Spirit within. I'm going to talk more about that too. Well, I got you. You do. There's no doubt about it. He's the teacher. He is the guide. The Holy Ghost. You understand that? But I'm talking about this anointing that comes upon men of God. It comes on, and it is a different anointing when you wear that mantle.
Amen.
And you go into the spirit realm, and you can deal with things. I heard one speaker. I read after one speaker here just a couple years ago, and I didn't really understand all of it. He says, we really don't, and on this contradiction, he says, we really don't need a revival in our churches today as much as we need the prophet's ministry to come forth.
Amen.
Now, we need revival in our church, but he said when the prophets come and speak, that will bring revival.
Amen.
Well, I got it out. I tell you, there's a lot more right down in there. I'm telling you, there's some things, and you're going to see some of the other prophets start teaching on this. To root out, to pull down. And that's why a lot of times things will change in churches, Mark. That's why things, when you go in a meeting, that anointing and come on and you speak some things or prophesy, and the things change. That church changed. They said the finances, everything. Sister Bucketmouth finally repented and she left or something. Things change spiritually. They said, we don't understand it. I've been teaching the word. I've been doing this. We've been in deep intercession. We've had people down here praying night and day. And you get up there under the anointing of God and speak some things out, and boom, things change. Well, that's the ministry of a prophet. You see the importance of this. Take that devil, glory be to God. He's had it. I'm telling you, he's had it. He's trying to kill the prophets. He's trying to get some of them to go home before their time. But that dude, his saddle is getting shipped up and it's about ready to leave, praise God. Because the prophets are coming on the scene and they're going to obey God. I'm not talking about goofed up people. I'm talking about the true prophets. That's why we need the prophets of the Lamb, for we to pray for them and intercede that they'll get up and start having true school of the prophets and start teaching and start leading and start saying some things by the Spirit that we'll be able to build a foundation and go on in this next wave. Glory be to God. What'd you say? I don't know. It was good, whatever it was. To pull down, to destroy, to throw down. Now notice, to build and to plant. To build on the foundation and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord come unto me saying, Jeremiah. Everybody say Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
What seest thou? Everybody say a prophet is a seer. What seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And then the Lord, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. To perform it. Well, if they're not going to see, how is God going to perform it? What is he talking about? An almond tree. I preached that one time because when God started dealing with me about a lot of times he'll give a vision unless, you know, in a... you know, it's in an area of a word of knowledge in a vision form. But I don't know, somehow this seems to be stronger. There's times when I go into the Spirit, when you go into the Spirit, you see, you know, every time, it seems like every time you read after Brother Hagin's, when he went in the Spirit and dealt with a piece of cancer, it's left.
This is the end of side number one. Please turn the tape over to side number two for the continuation of this message.